I don't know what he's doing over there, but...
Well, I think, well, the last I heard, I don't know, I'm certainly no authority or good source on this, but I think he's just following his same, you know, the highway work that he was doing up here. When he left here, he left the Territorial Road Commission, left before statehood.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed Colin. He's a great pioneer, and he's a collector of old automobiles and antiques, and he refurbishes old automobiles and old, he's rebuilt quite a few old player pianos.
Yeah, well, I heard somebody told me some time ago that he was collecting all kinds of old phonographs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Musical instruments. And he just goes about as, you know, he's not a great big publicity seeker or anything. He's just a good old Alaskan. And he plays at the Pioneer Mug-Ups usually. We have the Mug-Up in the summer, and then at Christmas time we have a Christmas dinner, which is somewhat similar to last night's.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a dance afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin usually comes.
Oh, yeah.
Wears his old hat. It's really a lot of fun. But Donald McDonald, the father of the Alaska Highway, as he's called, he didn't actually work for you. He worked from another district, is that?
Well, he worked out of Juneau, really.
I see.
He really worked out of Juneau. He didn't work really out of any of these. In other words, it was an overall, I don't know just what you'd call it, but he just worked directly out of Juneau. He never worked for any one of the districts.
So your headquarters office was in Juneau.
That is after we finished the Steese Highway survey.
Then, when you were superintendent here in this district, who was the territorial supervisor, commissioner, superintendent, whatever his name was?
The territorial highway engineer when I first started in was Bill Hesse.
Is that H-E-S-S-Y?
H-E-S-S-E.
Bill Hesse.
William A. Hesse, I believe it was.
And he was the territorial engineer. The
territorial highway engineer.
When you first started.
He was the first one, and then there was Leonard Smith. There's another one that I recall. And then Frank Metcalf.
How about William Neamey?
Who?
Neamey.
William Neamey? Bill was first an engine. Bill was first an engineer working over the Chippewa Division. Then the war came on, and he came back and went to work, and then when the Bureau of Public Roads took over, I think he was it was Gilione, and then Neamey was the way of it. Now, just what their titles were then, I don't know. That was after I left.
I see.
And Irving McKay Reed, he was a territorial engineer, I believe, just after I left here. 1950.
Did you see Mrs. Reed last night?
I did. I seen her the other day out at the Pioneer Home.
Yeah.
And by golly, she recognized me too.
Good.
She knew me.
Well, I'm glad, because she's sometimes loses her loses touch.
Yeah, that's what Charlotte Thomas was telling me.
She's had diabetes for a number of years, and it's a very serious case, and they have to be very, very careful with her food. And she just got back from a trip she's wanted to take for years and years and years. She went to Banff. She loves animals. Irving Reed and Sam White, you know Sam, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And then Lena Phipps, who was the Queen Regent, her husband, Doc Huffman. I'm just trying to recall some of these names that came up the other day.
Yeah.
They organized the Tanana Valley Sportsmen Association. And I know Mrs. Reed loved animals so much.
Yeah.
She just would hate to see an animal killed, even if you needed it to eat. And if you were starving to death, she'd hate to see it killed. She'd always wanted to go down there, but she just couldn't make it. But she finally made it this year. She had to take a nurse with her, but she went.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talked about this trip, I think, for 5 or 6 years. She just kept planning and planning and planning. She went. So I'm glad. It makes me feel good to see the pioneers take such an interest in the pioneers who were in the home.
Oh,
the
yes.
Home.
Yeah, they sure taking an interest in them.
And they make it, I don't know, they make their life for them sometimes.
Oh, that makes all the difference in the world. Be too bad to just put them out there and forget them.
Yeah.
That just shouldn't be done. So they're doing a good job that way.
I try to go out often, but it's, you know, every time I go, I think, well, I should come back at least twice a week or once a week. And sometimes I have a busy life and I have two teenagers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I just don't get there sometimes for a whole month.
Uh-huh.
And I feel kind of guilty, but it's one thing that the state of Alaska has done that I think is a wonderful thing. And they treat them with a lot of dignity and respect, and they're guests.
Yes.
They're not patients.
Yeah.
They're not inmates.
Yeah.
They're guests.
They're guests, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, that's a beautiful place they have out there. Good heavens. Well, you know, they somebody down there in Seattle came around and said somebody and went in there one day and spoke to Jack Lincoln, asked him if St. Peter was around. And Jack says, no, St. Peter isn't around here. Why? Wouldn't make you think he's around here. Well, he says, isn't this supposed to be heaven out here?
I thought Jack would have had a comeback for that. He's pretty quick on his feet.
Jack is pretty quick on the trigger. He pulled one on me the other day.
Did he?
You know, of course, when old Jack Lake, Jack Weaver, Jim Newland, and all that bunch were over there at the FE company, you know, we used to kid back and forth and one thing and another. And and of course, a lot of the fellas would go to the FE to work in preference to working for the road commission because they could really make a little more money.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, I said to Jack, I says, by golly, I never expected to see you over here working for the highway department. Well, he says, it turned out to be a pretty good organization after you left.
Well, he was working over there for just a short time, I understand, recently, just to, you know.
Oh, he's there yet.
Is he?
Yeah, he was out there the other day. At least, he's still working, I think.
Yeah, he's, someone said that he was just putting in a little more time with the state to get be eligible for a state retirement.
Well, yeah, that's what he's working for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was appointed director of the Pioneer Home, he was 75.
75, huh?
And he's almost 81 now.
Yeah.
And he did a wonderful job out there. He treated every one of those
people as a
friend.
That's what everybody says, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it hit me. Him and I were comparing ages there today, or yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. Or last night.
Well, I heard today out of Pedro Monument when Earl Beislein introduced, first of all, he was introducing the Pioneer Women of Alaska, and he made a few little slight errors in ages, you know.
Yeah.
They always correct him. They don't let him get by with one thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
They always straighten him out.
Yeah.
Then he asked for out-of-town visitors, and I noticed you spoke up and you said former, past president of Igloo number 4. What year was that you were the...
By golly,
I can look it up, but I just...
I really don't remember what year it was. It was the same year that I was the department commander of the Department of Alaska for the American Legion.
You had a busy year then.
How's that?
Had a busy year then.
Oh, I had a busy... I had several busy years. At one time here, Dave Adler was the secretary of the Elks and adjutant of the American Legion Post,
and I was the exalted ruler of the Elks and the commander of the local post at the same time. Every time I'd walk into Dave's bookstore, he'd throw up both hands. What do you want now?
Yeah.
I'd start in to talk about something, and then he'd answer me, and he'd be thinking about one outfit, and I'd be thinking about the other one.
Well, wasn't he secretary of the Elks for 25 years or so?
Oh, long time.
Long time. Yeah, he was a great man.
Yeah, he was secretary for a long time. And he was adjutant of the post for a long time, too.
Do you remember some of the men who served with you as officers of the Igloo when you were president?
I believe Wallace Cathcart. I believe Wallace Cathcart was the next in line, and Dick Rothenberg was the secretary. And that's as far as I can go. I don't remember who the trustees were. One of them might have been Judge Clegg, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Well, when you left here in 1950, you retired, and then you started driving.
That's it, yeah.
They didn't have any campers at that time, so what did you
personally
visit with?
I never had any use for a camper.
What'd you do, just stop in a motel or visit with friends?
Hotel, visit with friends, and what have you. Personally, I never believed in, I wouldn't insult a good car dragging one of them things behind it.
Not when they have good hotels, eh?
That's right. The hotel and the motel people have got to make a living.
What are your plans when you go back to Seattle? You going to winter there?
Well, I'm going to rest up for this trip up the coast.
You're going to need a little rest after this Alaska trip.
I will need a little, I think.
I'll tell you, I was pretty tired last night. I got up, I think it was about 5:30 yesterday morning, and I was downtown by 7, and I just went all day, and I didn't dance one dance last night. Yeah, of course, my husband was gone, and he's at Point Barrow. But I wanted to stay there and get a few pictures, so I waited until the person who won the ticket for the polka gold was gone. But they were really having a good time, and I was just so tired. I just
having a good time there. Someone was sure stepping around. Sure stepping around. After I make that trip up the coast, I'll probably settle down for the winter and wait for the spring weather before I start doing any more prowling around.
After the sourdough trip, you mean the international sourdough trip?
See, that'll be in September. And I think I'll probably just take it easy for until next spring and start out and go someplace else. I don't know.
Have you been into Dawson before?
I was up to Dawson. I'd been there once before. This was in the 40s. Holly Sterling and I went up there one time to see the, talk to him about this, running the road up from Jack Wade up to the boundary to connect with their Canadian road that come up to the 60-mile country. We went up there, we flew up to Dawson. And then Premier Jekyll brought us out in his car as far as he could. And we started out and come over and come down Walker's Fork into Jack Wade Creek and then on over to Chicken on the Hoof.
On the Hoof.
Yep, on the Hoof. Airplane picked us up at Chicken and brought us the rest of the way. And that's the only time I'd ever been in Dawson before. The other day going over, I got to thinking, well, now, is there going to be anybody in Dawson that I know? I couldn't think of a soul that would possibly be there that I knew, except one lady who lives in Vancouver and goes up to Dawson every summer. Lo and behold, after I went into the hotel and registered and walked out the street, she was the very first person I popped into.
It's a small
world. The only possibility of anyone in Dawson being that I knew.
The first person you bumped into.
First person I bumped into on the street.
Well, did you fly into Dawson this?
No, we drove.
You drove?
Sure.
From here?
Or? Yeah, from here. John Seville and his wife came in and picked us up here, and we pulled out of here one morning and went to Tok. Then the next day we went to Dawson. Then the next day we came back to Big Delta. And then the next day, which was Wednesday, we went to down to Paxson's Lake and down there and seen Doc Huffman. Back to Big Delta, and then last Thursday back to town here.
I've never been to Dawson, but I'm going next month.
Going up to take in their jamboree.
I'm going over with Mrs. Coyle.
Oh, yeah.
Went there, I guess, in 1900, according to Earl Beislein today.
Yeah. The
monument dedication.
Yeah.
I've never been over there. What are my feelings? I don't know why I never went to Dawson.
I wonder how long since she's been there.
She goes over every year every other year. She goes over quite often.
Because
she keeps a lot. She has a lot of friends who still are in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how often, but it seems to me it's every couple or 3 years that she goes over. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good that she can get around the way she does.
Yeah. She drives, but this time she didn't want to drive. She wanted to go with somebody else. So I'm going to take my car, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's another friend, mutual friend, who's going to go. But I thought, what a wonderful opportunity for me, because she knows so many people over there. And she knows every creek along the road. And
sure, she'll...
You know, she knows the history of that area so well.
Yeah, she'll know them all.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So. Well, you'll enjoy it. I enjoyed it over there the other day, seeing the old place.
Well, what about the Alaska Highway? Did you have anything to do with the construction of that during World War II?
We had absolutely nothing to do with the construction of that. That was all done under Army engineers. And then after they got it completed along about 1946 or 7, it was turned over to the Road Commission for maintenance.
Now, before the Army engineers built it, the road from Fairbanks went from here to Delta and then to Valdez.
Yes.
And then when the Alaska Highway was built, it came in through Canadian border to Tok, which was non-existent then.
No.
No Tok at all.
That's nothing there at all.
And then it came up to Delta.
Came up to Delta. And they also built...
The Glen Highway.
Tok Cutoff, they call it.
The Glen Highway, they call it now.
Yeah, they call it the Glen Highway now.
Yeah.
Of course, the Glen Highway had been running from the Richardson Highway to Anchorage. Then the Army.
Yeah.
And they had the Nabesna Road that left down there someplace. I don't remember just where it left the Richardson Highway and come over to Gakona. And this Tok Cutoff then that the Army built looked onto that road at Gakona.
I see.
Was a way of it.
Did you ever work on the McCarthy-Chitna strip?
No, I never worked on that at all.
Did you ever make the trip over that road?
No, I never got over there. As far as near as that I got was Chitna.
Mm-hmm.
I got in there over that, over the old Edgerton cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
It must be still in existence. I hear these people talking about going to Chitna fishing.
Oh yeah, it's quite a dip net. They go down there and dip net.
Yes.
Out of the Copper River.
Yeah, out of the Copper River. How in the heck can they see the fish in that river? It must be clearer than it used to be.
No, it's pretty muddy. I think they just put the net in and cross their fingers and hope. Hope the salmon swims into it.
Yeah.
They're pretty big nets.
It must be.
Well, when the fish are running, there are a lot of fish, you know. Sometimes they just dip them out.
Well, that's good. They're probably pretty thick in there, and that's probably all they have to do. It isn't like it is down here in the Tanana or the Yukon, just an occasional one now and then.
It hasn't been a very good fishing year from what I understand. This year, I don't know. I was outside all last summer and I didn't put one salmon away for the winter.
Yeah,
I'm going up to Rampart here pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Fish are running in the Yukon now and I'm going up to Rampart.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I better get a fishing license before I do that.
Hey, probably better.
I've got an Indian friend who lives up there, and she's got a fish wheel, so I thought I'd go up and help her for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
and help her smoke salmon, and then, then she'll give me a couple of fresh ones, you know, for pay. Yeah.
That golly, outside that smoked salmon, that costs money.
Oh yeah, it.
Good heavens, that squaw candy down there is around I think $3.50 a pound.
Holy smoke!
Oh boy, it's high.
Yeah.
And I can remember many of the ton of the smoked salmon that we bought for the road commission here down at Ruby for 2 cents a pound.
What'd you do with smoked salmon?
Dogs.
For the dogs.
Dog feed, yeah.
Did you use dogs on the road commission?
Sure.
For what?
In the early days, in the earlier days, up until the airplane took over, you know, they hauled the mail. My dog team from, one place, one big contract would run from Nenana to Ruby. Or not Nenana to Ruby, from Nenana to McGrath. And there was also... Also a contract running from Nenana down to Tanana and different places. In fact, all the mail to all the outlying places was hauled by dog team. Mm-hmm. You had to have dog trails for them. You had to have trails for them to follow, so the road commission fell heir to the job of maintaining all of them.
Maintaining the dog trails?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, gosh, here.
Makes sense, but it just didn't occur to me that the road commission was in the dog trail business.
Sure, we had all of that to do. Gosh, there was one time there, I don't remember, it's hard, I can't remember how many miles of dog winter dog trail we had to maintain.
Was the mail carried from Fairbanks out of here by dog? Well, we had the railroad, didn't we?
There was prior to the time of before the railroad came in, yeah. Sure. I don't know whether they'd done much work on the old trail between here and Valdez. I guess they did. On the winter trail, they must have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know darn good and well, heck, I with Donald McDonald and I, we used to go out, we made one trip from they hauled us by truck out to Chattanooga. We took the dogs and started at Chattanooga and went to Circle, from Circle up to Yukon to Eagle, then across from Eagle to Tanana Cross, and then back to Fairbanks. That is one dog team trip we made.
What was the purpose of the trip? Surveying or
sure,
just?
Well, the purpose of that mostly was just check on the winter trails,
mm-hmm.
See that they were, you know, being used, and what kind of condition they were in, and one thing or another.
What did you use to maintain the trails? Horses?
No.
To drag them, or
just the dogs? You even used the dogs to haul in the timbers, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you read this Alaska magazine now. These cheechalkers flying in here to these places and building these cabins. They have power saws. They have all this, that, and the other thing to build their cabins. But when we went out, all we had was a dog team, a bale of fish, and an axe. Period.
Yeah.
We built a cabin. I got disgusted and quit taking the Alaska magazine. I got tired of reading them kind of stories.
Yeah. Well, it's a big adventure these days.
Oh, I know, but...
you know, I was in Tanana in the... I think it was March of 69, and there was an old Indian there named Sam Joseph. And he used to carry the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember the name or not.
No, I don't.
He was 98 at the time, and he was blind. And I got a picture of him, a black and white picture,
mm-hmm.
And I blew it up and made a nice, it's just a beautiful picture. He was blind, and I didn't know it at the time when I took the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But then I met his daughter and son-in-law who were there, and this was celebration time, you know, mm-hmm. So they were feeling no pain, so they were pretty talkative. So they said, he's blind, go ahead, take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then I didn't feel as though I was intruding on his privacy. But he carried the mail, and as a matter of fact, he was one of the dog team drivers who carried the serum to Nome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The big famous trip that Leonard Sepulveda got all the credit for.
Yeah, Sepulveda got all the credit for, yeah.
Well, he was one of them, and I have this picture of him, and I have it in my living room. He had beautiful Martin skin cap on.
Oh, yeah.
And a parka.
Uh-huh.
And just typical Indian garb, you know. But
mm-hmm.
And he had a very, very lined face, beautiful face, you know, just real study, real nice study.
Yesterday, when the parade was on, I was in here and the darn parade had started, and by the time I got out there, Mrs. Rogers was out there, and she'd been talking to an Indian woman there, and told her, I don't know, she must have mentioned me, because when I went out, this gal spoke to me and called me by name and everything, and said she's one of the Pitkas.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot of Pitkas down around Tanana,
right,
down in that country.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she remembered me. She told me a lot of things that happened around down there.
Yeah.
I knew about.
That's just too bad you can't come up every year and renew. Every year you'd come, you'd see more people you used to know.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever make any trips on the sternwheelers up and down the Yukon River?
No, I never, not up and down. Only, the only boat trips I made on the river was from Nenana to Ruby. I never up on the Yukon. The only trip I made on the Yukon was one time I wanted to get away for a day or two, so I went over to Eagle. And Henry Appel, he was an old-timer, that an old French-Canadian, was up here a number of years ago. He met me at Circle, or at Eagle, with a small boat, and we came down from Eagle to Circle in a small boat.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you went to Ruby, though, you had to go on the Yukon from Tanana.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I say. That's the only place I was ever on the...
On the Yukon.
On the boat.
Well, did you maintain that road that went from Ruby back into the Iditarod area?
Yeah.
Was that part of your responsibility?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was there quite a bit of mining in there at that time when you were superintendent?
Well, there wasn't too much mining going on down there. General Steese, who was the head of the road commission about the time that was started, said afterwards, he says, doggone them guys down there anyhow. He says, I built them a road to move out on and they didn't do it. They stayed down there and tried to mine you.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a great deal down at Poor Man. There'd been quite a bit prior to the construction of the road in there, but after the road was there, while there was built in there, there was very, very,
very little.
Little
mining.
The only mining around there that really amounted to anything then was at Long Creek, on just out about 28 miles out of Ruby. Mm-hmm. But earlier there had been considerable mining done all the way down Long Creek to the Sulatna River, but then there was nothing again until you got over to Poor Man, and then not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now there's nothing going on over at Poor Man as far as I know.
I don't know. Who's... There may be some over there. I just don't know. I haven't talked to Mrs. Rust would know. She knows everybody who's digging up a pan of gold-bearing dirt in that district.
Yeah.
She keeps pretty good track of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Miskovich, one of the Miskoviches, was it Howard? Or John Miskovich has been over there. But I think he's moved out of there.
I think he's moved out of there now. I don't think there's
I don't know where he is now.
I haven't heard of any of the Miskoviches for quite a while. But I doubt if there's anything going on over there from what I heard.
Well, what about General Steese now? Where did he get the name General, or the title General?
Well, he was a colonel, and then when they first formed the Alaska National Guard, he got the title of General.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Colonel Noyes did.
Oh, so it was the Alaska National Guard then, not
U.S. Not the regular Army, no.
I see. Then he was head of the Alaska Road Commission for the entire territory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the difference between his position and the territorial engineer?
Well, you see, the Alaska Road Commission was a federal agency formed by an act of Congress 1903, to be under the direction of the War Department. And the first chief engineer was Captain Wiles P. Richardson, who later on became a general, I believe. Then after him, I don't know who the next one was. Then I remember Steis. He was on in the early 20s. Then Major Elliott. And then along in 1931, probably, it was turned over to the Department of the Interior.
From the War Department to the Department?
From the War Department to the Department of the Interior.
And then it became the Bureau of Public Roads?
And then it was turned over to the Bureau of Public Roads in 1951 or two.
Oh, I see.
I don't remember. That was after I left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's when Mr. Neamey came in. You said he was after you. He came in.
Yeah, I think Giglione was the man, the head man with the Bureau of Public Roads, and I think Neamey was under him, is the way of it. I'm not sure of that.
Mr. Neamey's daughter is the personal secretary to Senator Stevens.
Oh, yes.
In Washington.
Uh-huh.
And she stayed with me last January when she was here, visited here.
I don't know where the Neameys are now.
They're in California.
I know they bought. I know Bill had bought a lot down at Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he ever built on it or not, I don't know.
Yeah. They're in California. They're in Carmel.
Oh yeah.
He probably built on it then. Yeah, probably did.
Probably did.
I think she told me that they bought it. They built a place, and then they've spent more time traveling than they did living in it. Well, that's great if they can do it.
Oh yeah, sure, you bet. That's the way to do.
You know, I just looked at my watch and I've kept you almost 2 hours, so I'm just going to cut this. I really enjoyed talking with you. I wish I could sit here all night asking you questions about
I don't know whether you could or not. I think maybe I might fall asleep a little later on.
Yeah, I've kept you too long as it is. I really appreciate your taking this time. I know you're leaving in the morning.
Oh, that's all right.
You'll enjoy that trip tomorrow.
I expect to.
Some of the road might be a little bumpy in spots.
Oh,
maybe,
well, that's
after the rain we've had.
That's nothing. I'm used to that.
But the people in this area really have enjoyed the new route.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To Anchorage.
Yeah.
I haven't traveled all the way down, but I will. Mm-hmm. The Pioneer Convention is going to be in Palmer in September.
Oh, yeah.